Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Talking Heads Review Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be discussing the Twitter files based on a conversation of the All In podcast with Chameth, Jason, Sachs, and Friedberg. Wanted to talk about Twitter files because I think this is something that, again, the news just kind of glossed over recently. So yeah, we're going to get into that. But of course, this week I'm joined by my other co-host, Adam. How's it going, man?
Good. Good to be here. Let's get into it.
Hello and welcome to the Talking Heads podcast. In this show, we take great snips from other shows, shine a bit of light, add a bit of context, and always add some humor. We are not affiliated with any of the shows mentioned in the podcast. However, if you are interested in the shows discussed, you can easily find them by going to the link in the podcast. And now, to the show.
And the real world is not an idea. It is not words. Reality is...
All right, so the Twitter files. So what are the Twitter files, first of all? So Elon Musk recently bought Twitter late last year, and after he did that, he started going through the company. He got rid of a bunch of old employees, weeded a bunch of people out, and also went through a lot of old documents from Twitter. And recently, they've kind of come to light and kind of exposed some of the dark underpinnings of Twitter and the way that they have kind of conducted themselves and
scary stuff.
Their integrity as a social media platform has been kind of demolished.
Yeah, but what's interesting about it, this isn't like an investigation into a current company with all the same people. There's like new guard. So yeah. It doesn't look bad for Twitter at all, I don't think. Even though a lot of the mainstream media, while ignoring the Twitter files, is also been kind of bashing Elon and talking down to like the types of suppression that they think that he's doing.
Right? Yeah.
Which is just lazy play.
It really is, yeah. And I like you said, I think there's just been not enough coverage of the stuff that has come out of these investigations. I mean, they've just been so glossed over and so oversimplified, and there's really no accountability for not only Twitter, all of the people who used to work at Twitter, but also all of these other social network companies who we know are doing pretty much the same things, manipulating yeah. things, silencing people. It's just, yeah, it's not looking good for these companies, but that's not the message that people are thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you look at the congressional hearings that they've had recently where they were, you know, there's like politicians basically cross-examining Twitter execs, so much of that stuff looks bad. And it's great news. It's yeah. great to see it. I can't believe that they're not showing more of this stuff.
No, it's crazy. I mean, yeah, I guess to just really dive into this stuff, one of the things that we figured out in this whole process is that there's a man named Jim Baker who used to work for the FBI, I believe during, it would have been, yeah, the Biden administration, used to work for the FBI, for some reason got released. Oh, it was because he was the dude involved in all of the Russian scandal stuff. He was like deep in the FBI messing up and colluding and doing all of this really terrible things involved in the election with Russia and all that stuff. He leaves the FBI, and where does he go? To Twitter to work on their team for their division of censorship and things of that nature.
Oh, perfect.
So it's like... corrupt dude from the government goes straight into working in big tech. Like, not, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Like, that's not good. We don't need that.
Yeah,
it's that like doesn't help anyone.
It's like the big wigs from the FDA moving on to pharmaceutical companies
afterwards. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's great. Isn't there conflict of interest? What does that word mean to these people?
It means nothing. It means nothing. It means just another paycheck, I think, for these people.
Have you seen the clip of Elon basically after all the Twitter files were released and he's being interviewed by somebody, short little clip, and he's like, yeah, literally every conspiracy that we thought was real in Twitter has basically come true. He goes, yeah. That's the scary part of this.
It really is, yeah. And it's funny, too, because, okay, so I guess to get into one of these blacklisting people. So what they were doing was they were taking influential people, usually right-leaning, or I think it was all right-leaning people because everyone in Twitter was left-leaning, like 97%. And so they were silencing these kind of more right-leaning voices. And what would happen was their accounts would show up, but you couldn't interact with them at all. Anything that they would say, people also wouldn't see. You couldn't search them by name. You just wouldn't find them. So they were basically ghosted from this app. And they had no idea of it the entire time. Twitter never told them, hey, by the way, we're silencing you for these reasons. They just ghosted them because they didn't fit the beliefs of whatever it was. They even went so far as there was a Stanford professor whose name escapes me, but he was a genuine scientist from Stanford who was during the COVID was, I believe he was going against whatever the normal CDC protocol was at the time. And he was, I think, going against lockdowns. And they blacklisted him. A Stanford professor got blacklisted because what he was saying, it turns out he was right, actually, at the end of it. He was correct about what he was saying.
Which is key, really, because yeah, that's the fear.
Exactly, yeah. And he just got blacklisted because it didn't fit the status quo of what everyone was saying in the media.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The people up in arms about it mostly are on the right because it was against them. A lot of people on the left are just happy to let this go. But what they're failing to see here is something very simple. It could easily have been switched, and it would be equally as wrong.
Exactly.
That's the point.
Yeah, and then
I'm
another
not fighting
thing.
For a specific side. I'm fighting for the fact that it happened at all. I don't want it to happen
to either
side.
It shouldn't exist. It shouldn't exist. And a lot of people will push back, or some people will push back on that and say, no, these are private companies who have an agenda, and they have the right to do that. I think that's a naive perspective considering how important and influential these companies are to the way that Americans especially process information and make decisions.
Yeah.
Like, they're huge companies, and they really, because they're interfering with things like elections, which is not okay.
No.
And that should not happen ever. Just to go back real quick to the blacklisting thing, this was something that was originally brought up before the Elon switch of Twitter, that the people on the right were saying, and it got shut down as a conspiracy theory and that it wasn't real. Jack Dorsey publicly said, we're not blacklisting people. There was a bunch of other high up people in Twitter who were denying this when the story broke out while they were doing it. So they knew this was happening and they still denied that it was happening and continued to do it.
Well, that's like a perfect example of gaslighting.
Exactly.
It's really annoying. And I've even had plenty of my close friends that I trust and have known a long time and are well informed that would say the same thing. Oh, yeah, that's just a conspiracy. Or if I lean into like two or three more than them that they don't like,
yeah,
then I'm almost getting just completely labeled as that. And then it turns out that some of these things happen to be true. Nobody has the balls to turn around and be like, dude, you were right about this.
That's the thing, yeah.
Be braver, people. I'm willing to do it. I try to do that all the time. I think that's important.
Not only that, but there's just no accountability. I mean, after these things happen, you never had anyone from Twitter who got let go or anything. They were never saying, oh, yeah, we shouldn't have done this or whatever. I mean, one of the, I guess to kind of go back to the podcast that we were discussing, I believe, who was it? Chamath, I believe, was he was kind of saying, because I think he worked at Facebook, and he was kind of explaining that, which is a fair point, but he was explaining that with these companies, what happens is you start off, you don't have that many people coming on, and then all of a sudden it blows up overnight, immediately, in some cases. And so from that point on, they're kind of on their back foot trying to implement some of these censorship and all of these other things like that. But I will push back against that slightly, not to say that it's not incorrect, but I think when you get to the point where you have people starting to ask questions about blacklisting or whatever it is, whatever things you're going on in your company, and you've publicly come out and deny them while they're true, that's not okay, and there needs to be some accountability for that. Hey guys, just going to take a quick break from the show to let you know about this week's sponsor, HelloFresh. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit option, and they make dieting and grocery shopping and just overall meal prepping so much easier, let me tell you. All you have to do is go online, choose the meals you want. You can customize. They have over 40 different recipes you can choose from. You can swap proteins. You can swap sides. You can really dial in and get exactly what you want. Make sure to meet all of your health needs, regardless of where you might be. And we have a special promotion for listeners of the show. Go to HelloFresh.com and enter code MMP60 at checkout, and you will get 60% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/MMP60 and use code MMP60 for 60% off plus free shipping. And now back to the show.
Well, we've busted out some whiskey, so we might as well
just... We're going to get deeper into this, yes.
We might cheers and kind of delve in. I mean... He does have a point, though, right? These companies are that when you blow up that quick, being on your back foot is kind of, they have to figure this out in real time, and there's been nothing like this before. Now, yeah. Before I let them off the hook, I mean, managing at scale is something that a lot of companies have struggled with. YouTube does it too, and at the end of the day, I think the primary agenda of any company is just to err on the side of caution. So things that seem a bit controversial and et cetera. The problem here is who's choosing that and why? And why isn't it transparent?
Yeah. Yeah. As well as, I mean, there's some other things that were going on where you did have instances of these moments of uncertainty kind of being questioned and thrown around questions. But at the end of it, it was like... It was one of those things where we kind of know this is wrong and we're going to kind of go with this anyways because we don't really know what to do. And it's just like, but we're not comfortable with this. We just don't, like, I don't know. I think there is a bit of like, we don't know what to do. But then there's also like, we're just going to sweep this under the rug and forget about it. And we'll handle it later. We'll make up some excuse.
Well, they would clearly
control the masses for now. Yeah. We're going to suppress this, push it back. I mean, that's also what companies do as well as things like troubleshooting and all of that. But I guess to go back to what I'm saying, there needs to be, with these big companies, there needs to be another level of accountability and another level of seriousness with these kinds of issues, things like censorship, especially with political things, stuff with elections, that we really need to make sure that we're handling these situations in the most ethical way possible.
Yeah, almost like they need to put together their own version of like the Supreme Court and have it politically separated.
Yeah.
And, you know, then ideas get brought to them. Obviously, you still need these AI bots to go through and capture words and sentences and kind of group people together and see if there's bad, you know, actors using your platform. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Taliban has been on Twitter this whole time while they were down-regulating certain Republican speech, which is okay.
That makes perfect sense.
So then what are we trying to regulate here?
Yeah, that's you bring up a good point. It's like, you know, you get to this level of questioning where it's just like, what is ethical? What how do we decide what's okay and what's not okay? And I think that question needs to be answered in the most objective way possible. And I think the problem is that because these companies have so much power and they've had no one else, they've had no one to tell them, no, that's not okay before, they don't know what to do in these certain circumstances. They can just do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm a big proponent and a big fan of, and a lot of the people in the podcast that we're talking about as well, we're a big fan of, you know, governments need to step in and they need to regulate these companies. It's the same thing that happened many years ago with the cell phone companies, where they kept taking our data and everything, and the governments had to step in and say, no, that's not okay, and we made laws about it, and now it's fine. But we don't have that at all with social networks.
Well, it's the irony there was the NSA was capturing everything the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I worry about when people say, oh, the government should step in and make the rules, because it's like, okay, who in the government? And
Congress, though.
Okay, yeah, I guess.
I mean, I guess in there's certain things that I think you're going to have a hard time regulating, but the things that really worry me are the amount of data collection that we have and how sophisticated that has gotten and how much money they make off of that. I mean, that's where all of these companies are getting their money from, is through advertisements that they get, selling people's data to advertisers. So I think that needs to be tamed down a lot, because that's a big problem. But I mean, yeah, that's a fair point. And I usually don't say this about very many things. I usually am not the first person to be like, oh, the government needs to step in and handle this, because I think that most of the time whenever the government steps in, it's bound to get all kinds of fucked up. But in this case, I mean, these companies just have too much power right now, and they don't know what to do with it, and they're not using it in ways that are helping people.
Do you think that – so now Elon has Twitter – mm-hmm. He has his own teams in. I don't think that he wants the government to step in and tell him how to run this company.
I'm not sure. I'm curious, actually, what he thinks about that, because I feel like most people who kind of have a good sense of what's going on with these issues are – most people are in favor of – I mean, across both political sides. Like, I've heard everyone from – Ben Shapiro to Russell Brand to Jordan Peterson. I mean, I've heard so many people who are in favor of, because the government has to step in, or else this is going to go on way too long and we're going to have some really, really serious problems with this. I mean, we already have, but
I agree.
It's going to continue to get worse.
I think it will keep happening.
Yes.
So something needs to.
Yeah.
Whether it is the government or however they set up a system for it, nothing's ever going to be perfect. But we can do a much better job with this. One thing that I liked when they started the podcast is they said, so a lot of Twitter employees were complaining about how Elon was running things, because obviously, you know, he's mixing stuff up, making sure people are working. You know, a lot of the talk online was that these people would go to work and it was like a funhouse. They'd do a meeting here and there. They'd have this big long break. They'd take a nap. And he's like, no, guys. We're going to get to work. Well, many of them were offered a pretty nice severance, and they left. And they've gone over to other companies, and now they're already complaining about these companies as well and unfair working conditions.
Yeah.
It's like, I think he just did find a bunch of lazy people not doing anything.
I'm not surprised. I mean, Twitter's been around for a while. You have to think some of those people up there must just have the most comfortable jobs ever, where they can just boss people around. They don't have to make any real decisions, and they can just kind of sit on their ass their whole time. I mean, you have to think that there was so many people in the company that were like that.
Well, there's just so much money there, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're all sitting around making bank, doing nothing. You know. Meanwhile, your social network is going to shit and interfering with elections. You know.
Yeah.
But hey, it's pajama day at the office, guys.
That's it. That's it. It's Taco Tuesday.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the guys discussed Jason Sachs, Friedberg, I mean, and Chamath. They all agreed that it's shocking that the mainstream media hasn't covered this.
Oh yeah.
And you know, they're all journalists in their own right. Some of them even got into it. They have real opposing sides. They probably argue a lot on these podcasts.
Yeah.
I know you didn't like that, but I didn't mind too much, because you know, it's hard to kind of recommend a podcast to certain people because it'd be about something controversial. The Twitter files can be seen as that. I hand this podcast to somebody, one of my friends, and say, hey, check this out. These guys are really interesting. They got a great take. The first thing people will do is try and figure out who the people are talking.
Which side,
are they left? Yeah. Are they right? Should I be agreeing with them or not? And then it's echo chamber stuff. You know, these guys are, they're spread out.
Mm-hmm.
Yet what I like about it is they come together to do these stories and make their points and get pretty frustrated. And that was one area where they were all like, why is this not being talked about?
Yeah, I agree. I think that was kind of nice. And I do think that you got a bunch of different viewpoints on the way that these events unfolded and also their opinions of kind of these, just these events. And so I did enjoy that there was a, you could kind of hear from different sides. I just don't like when you throw on a podcast or a radio show or whatever it is, and the people just start bitching back and forth and like, you didn't answer my question. You all answer yours, but you won't answer mine. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
That just got a little annoying.
It always gets on my nerves when someone does this. Just answer yes or no.
Yeah.
That is always a trap.
It is, yeah.
It is, because so few things
are yes or no.
Yeah, yeah. It's podcasting. All questions should be open-ended.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. The concept of intellectual dishonesty, I think, was mentioned a lot in the show, and I think that that's a really great way to kind of phrase this whole thing in general is, you know, you have people who are supposed to have this level of integrity. They have all the knowledge. They're in charge of what's going on. And then not only are they not doing what's best for the people involved, but they're also lying about what they're doing. They're ploying fake stories to distract you. They're covering things. It's just the opposite of what intellectual dishonesty is.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, shouldn't you always be at your best? 2023 is the year to maximize your performance in the bedroom. Listen up. BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, that's not always the case. Some people aren't. This is where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our code, promo code THR at checkout. Just pay $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code THR to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Yeah, I mean, the dishonesty is just so painful to listen to. You know, there's obviously an agenda there when they say 97% of the people working at Twitter, you know, are Democrats and maybe quite a lot left-leaning. And then, of course, that's an echo chamber in itself. So the fear there is that they were promoting being more and more left. It was like kind of encouraged. You want to really fit in this company? Like, this is the way we lean towards all news and all things. So yeah, this is how we're going to change the narrative. Anything comes in that talks bad about what we're trying to push, we just turn it down.
Yeah. I think most people probably, I mean, especially if you're going into a career with this, most people understand that these big tech companies, or really nowadays, most big companies in general are left-leaning. And I'm going to caveat this. I think most people in the big tech companies, like Google, Facebook, all these things, I think those people are generally left-leaning. But the reason I'm going to caveat most big companies is because I think that there's a lot of companies who don't really give a shit about any of these ideas, but they're forced to kind of play into them and have more woke or... I don't know the right word, but more left-leaning ideas on things. So you have to be...
progressive.
Yeah, you have to be more progressive or else investors are not going to care.
Yeah.
And so I wonder how much of companies are actually giving a shit and also are just doing it because they have to. But I think with the big tech companies, is all those dudes in Silicon Valley are just like kind of the same nerdy program engineer dudes who are...
Yeah, it's like this is the talk around the water cooler, but when they get back to their $5 million, you know, house in Venice, because they're all massive, highly paid, or when tax season comes around, I guarantee they've got some other ideologies going on in their head there.
Exactly, yeah. They're like, oh, this poor homeless guy. Meanwhile, they drive off to their $5 million mansion, you know, mm-hmm. It's like... Did you need such a big house?
Well, when I lived in Santa Monica, where I would train jiu-jitsu and go to this coffee shop, just the right comedy, across the road was Activision, the video game place that was like main headquarters, and also Snapchat was there. So the little diner that we used to, you know, get food and sandwiches and things after jiu-jitsu, our team would go over there. Often the Snapchat guys were in there. Yeah. You know, and you could always hear them talking, and it was nuts because they're like early 20s, almost all of them.
Yeah,
and they're the ones making these decisions. Now, obviously, Snapchat's not Twitter, but I'm sure it's similar programmer ages.
A lot of these companies are really similar, not only in, the way that they work, but also the people that they're hiring, the kind of people who need to work at a social network company are either
nerds.
They're nerds. They're total nerds. But you have most of them are programmers. That's what they do. That's all social networking is. I mean, everything behind the app is all programmed.
Right.
So someone's got to do that. But yeah, it is. And they're all very young, like you said. It's kind of crazy how young they are. I mean,
oh yeah.
It's like, I feel like if you're above 30, you're like kind of like the old guy, you know, in the office.
Well, I was talking to this one kid. Just about what Snapchat is. I'd like not used it at all. And I'm like, what is this? Is this just for like dick pics that disappear in 5 minutes? And he's like, oh no. And he laughed, but then got defensive because obviously that's something that they've been accused of being for some time. And he's like, no, that you can do so much more. And then he started talking for maybe too long and I was getting a bit bored. I'm like, okay, dude, yeah, I'm sure it's great. I'm not going to check it out, but that's fine. And then when we walked across the road, I was heading over to the gym. He was going back to his vehicle. And like I said, he was probably like 23 and pretty humble. He wasn't like a spoiled little kid. He was just like, you could tell he was a smart guy. But what did he really know about anything? Bless him. I mean, he just hasn't been here that long, you know, 5 years after finishing high school. And then he just gets in one of those Lamborghini SUVs, a bright yellow one.
Yeah.
And just drove off. And I'm like, they are paying those guys pretty well.
It's crazy. Yeah. The amount of money and control that they have is insane. Another thing with the Twitter files that was uncovered was, like I said, suppression. So you have blacklisting of people, but you also have things like the Hunter Biden file. That story, which broke right before the election cycle, was intentionally suppressed.
The laptop,
by Twitter.
Right?
Yeah, the laptop. Mm-hmm. That whole under thing, that whole story was intentionally suppressed by Twitter. And that's confirmed.
How is that not interesting to everyone?
I don't understand.
Number one,
that.
It's sad, right?
Yeah.
That this guy is so addicted to drugs and all the rest of it. But also, this is a politician's son. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's like in the bathtub. Smoking crack or whatever he was doing and like buying it and filming it. How is that not one of the most interesting things that you can see?
I know.
It's like the most amazing viral video. He could not have made himself seem more guilty. I don't know what the legal precedent for those things are. Like, I guess you could say, well, I know he said it was crack. And it looked like crack, and then he was high on it, but we don't have the actual evidence, and it's not right in front of you.
Yeah.
But I think for most people, they'd get in quite a lot of trouble if they tried something like that.
Yeah, dude.
Nuts.
I tried. I actually, I can't say that.
Don't say that. We'll bleep it out.
No, but I mean, if you, like, I don't know, man. If you're in college and you try and spark up a joint in your dorm, you know, you're going to get questions. And this guy's just doing crack in bathtubs, buying it online. Like,
and with hookers, too, right?
And I mean, he's the president's son.
And taking money from, you know, kind of backdoor deals in Ukraine.
That's not okay.
Which seemed super sketchy. And it was like, yeah, we're not even going to discuss this. And all of this comes out right before an election.
Right before the election.
Hey,
yeah.
Sucks for you guys. Bad timing, Democrats.
Sorry.
But also, it happened. It was real.
Yeah. But no, we're going to suppress it.
Dude, if this Trump's kids, other than like hunting wild game that seems to really upset people,
yeah,
they don't seem to do like really fucked up stuff.
Wow.
Like, I mean, they say some wacky things, and it's also Trump, and you know, think what you want about it. But I mean, they're not running around drinking, killing hookers, doing crazy things. Not saying Hunter was killing any hookers, but like wild behavior.
Yeah.
If they do almost anything, that's like front page.
I know. If it, like, I remember when Trump got elected, his little son, I think he was like 13 or so at the time, like a young kid, he had like a fidget spinner and everyone went crazy about that. But no one. The thing that bothered me about this story, and I'm curious what you think about this, in Twitter, if you go through these files that they're talking about and you read some of these discussions, there was a lot of topic about the idea that these had been hacked information, that the whole story had been hacked somehow from the laptop or whatever it was, but it was obtained not in the correct way. And so that's why they originally were suppressing it, allegedly. That was the story that they were going to run with. And there was a lot of people, like I said, there was some conversations in those discussions where people were saying, were raising questions like, well, regardless of whether they were hacked or not, isn't it right of us, if the story is true in some way, however it was obtained, shouldn't people know about this? And aren't we suppressing free speech by not sharing this, regardless of where it was? We're not the one hacking into the computer. You know, like, people have kind of a right to know this. And so I'm curious what you think about that. I mean, personally, I think regardless of where the story was, especially before an election, like, people should know about that.
Well, this is what reporting is.
Yeah.
It's like reporters will put themselves out on a limb. Now, you know, investigative journalists shouldn't be breaking the law in order to get stories.
No.
But I bet they pay off some people. They work their way into some buildings. They flip through some, you know, cabinets and, you know, get handed a document that, quote unquote, fell off the back of a truck. And they look through it and investigate it. I mean, they're looking for stories that people will be interested in. And it's up to the public to decide if they're interested. It's not up to Twitter or Instagram.
I agree with you,
And even the media, to be honest.
No, it's
because
not
of a narrative. They're like, this is a story. It's clearly a big one for whatever it means. You're supposed to put it out into the world and people make up their own minds.
Exactly.
Maybe people wouldn't have thought it was such a big deal. Maybe a lot of the Democrats would have gone, this poor guy, he's struggling with drugs. And they still get to make that decision.
Yeah.
But they,
people should know. People
they,
should know.
They should
and
know.
I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. These companies are way too big to have the ability and the power to persuade people's opinions on things. I really believe that. Like, they have so many users, and if they're going to be doing things like suppressing stories, intentionally boosting stories that they want people to hear, or manipulating what people are talking about in any way except for censorship, you know, of, you obviously can't have child pornography on your site, you know, there has to have some level of censorship, but things like this, they should have no say on it. Anything political, for that matter. I mean, they really shouldn't.
Well, I mean, look at it like this. What is mostly talked about on Twitter? There's lots of different things. In fact, there's a lot of MMA news, mixed martial art news. Now, what's the value of that to most people? Well, to MMA fans, it probably has some, but mostly, you know, the kind of nerdier MMA fans, to be honest, because, you know, you're not delving into Twitter to kind of look up, you know, this latest story on a fighter. So ultimately, not that many people. Was it, so you could say, well, this doesn't have a lot of value, but none of that's being suppressed. You're telling me that is more interesting than anything that would have been on the Hunter Biden laptop? No chance.
No way, yeah. Yeah. I mean, to a certain extent, people are going to listen to what they want to listen to, and people are going to have their own biases, and in their own head, they can, oh, that's a right-leaning story, I'm not going to read that, or that those people are left-leaning, I'm going to follow that, or whatever. They can do that, but that's their decision to make.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be up to the network, and they should have no say on what is pushed or what is suppressed or anything like that.
Well, it's the untalked about majority that they're worried about. We mostly only focus on the extremes of each end of any party.
Yeah.
The most woke and then the far right. They make the most noise, but they're the least numbers in the bell curve.
Yeah.
Most people in the middle. So they'd be interested in a story like that. They're interested in a story from either side that is kind of impactful. And yeah, I mean, it was clear that Twitter and other agencies were worried that this information gets out and it would change the way people think about a particular party. But that's what being informed is.
That's what they should do, you know? I mean, especially something like that big of a story, to not inform people when you know about it is, I think, criminal. Like, that shouldn't be allowed, especially if at the time of the election. If this had happened, say, after he was elected, you know, and maybe something came out and they're like, oh, we don't want to paint him the rightest way starting off or whatever, I would be a little bit more lenient. I wouldn't be a fan of it, and I'm still very much opposed to that. But the fact that they did this right before the election, I think just kind of highlights how far they're willing to go with this. I mean, they're willing to change the outcome of an election.
Well, in a way, it's
almost...
And they
have the power to do that.
It's almost... Okay, so there was all this concern about Russian kind of collusion or interference, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened with Trump, and then the same thing with this Hunter Biden thing. Well, really, in both cases, it doesn't seem like there was too much interference at all. But what seems to be very real is Twitter had massive interference. And it's like, hold on a second. We would hold that nation to that standard and probably put, you know, sanctions on them for it. And we would all be up in arms. How dare they try to mess with our elections? Yet with Twitter, they get to step back and go, well, I mean, we didn't do anything illegal. This was just like how our company was set up. And it's like, yeah. I don't think that you should be able to get away with this.
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. Take the account, the libs of TikTok. Hilarious account, by the way.
Did you flip through it?
I don't care what side of any store, like political party you're on. It would be funny if there was a very Republican
version
of
that,
making fun of,
yeah,
you know, just far right stuff.
Farmers.
At the end of the day, funny is funny. And there's some wacky stuff on there. And then it also highlights some things. I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt because they make it seem like this is happening in every school or every place or every city. It's probably not happening that much. But they show some really wacky things. Well, they downregulated those views massively.
Yep.
They did it in all the ways that you could, to where people weren't even following it. And here's the problem. It was still a big account. People are so interested in it because it is so funny and wacky that they would still find it and it would grow.
Yeah.
That says something too. You're a social media company and you should be allowing people to see what they want.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get to choose.
I agree. I do agree. I think the thing with that story that they were kind of trying to piddle around with was the idea of, is it inciting violence? And that's up for debate. I don't want to get into that. But one thing I want to say with that story is they're if you go into these Twitter files, you look into this stuff, they have it confirmed where they Twitter people who worked at Twitter were saying, well, libs of TikTok hasn't disrupted our policy in any way. They haven't broken any rules, but we're still going to ban them. And they knew that. They knew that they didn't have anything, any clear evidence of why they were going to ban them, and they did it anyway. They did it anyway.
Yeah. So then why even have your why own
even
rules?
Have policies at yeah, all? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, they did say that the government is about to rewrite Section 230, which is it's kind of like the free internet code law that they have.
Yeah.
I don't know the ins and outs of it, but it's been around a long time, and it was carefully set up originally just to make it so that there's not a ton of like control over the internet. Like it was designed to keep it a free space because it was clear early on that was going to be a big part of what the internet needed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at going back in, rewriting that to make social media companies more transparent.
Yeah.
Right? Which I think is brilliant. That almost makes it more open and more free. And, you know, earlier on when you were like, yeah, someone needs to step in, I agree. Is it the government? Who knows? But who else could do it? Slippery slope, though, you know, yeah. Could be a great move. However, I think transparency is another way of doing things like that. It's like, okay, so you still have these bad actors in there that are turning accounts down and switching things off potentially. There's still always going to be a little bit of bias. Someone has to make that decision. But if they make it very clear who they're doing it to, how they're doing it, and why, then people at least know what's happening to their account, and they can make the choice. They can say, you know what? Twitter's not viable anymore. We'll move on to another social service. And I think whenever we're in a certain time, we think, oh, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, they're the only players in the game,
YouTube.
Or YouTube.
Yeah.
They're the only players. It will always be like this forever, and nothing new will ever be invented because, you know, when you're in a specific time, you can't see the future.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you just look over every decade, it's like MySpace just disappeared. Facebook is basically kind of dropping off. I don't really know how they sustain themselves. It must be all money from Instagram at this point. Some people are using Facebook, I
guess. Facebook's going to stay afloat for a little bit longer because the older generation uses them a lot, and they're also doing a lot of things with businesses, like helping grow businesses.
Yeah, but it's certainly not the same as it was.
It's not going to be around forever.
And new things will come along. I think that's already started to happen with Bumble and YouTube. So is it Rumble. Not Bumble. Whoops. Tinder. So, yeah, Rumble is like a freer space of video and podcasting and those sorts of things. Russell Brand has gone over there because he's constantly being demonetized on YouTube. And it'll open up. It'll gain support and it'll become something new. I mean, in a way, I think people were moving away from Twitter before Elon bought it.
Yeah.
In a way, it was kind of worth nothing. And he still paid $44 billion for it.
Way too much for it.
But it's worth something if he was able to change it into something else.
Yeah.
Which I think he's doing. I mean,
I hope so.
I'm way more keen to see what happens with Twitter. And I now that he has it, and I had zero incentive to get on Twitter before he bought it. I just didn't care.
Twitter's awful, honestly,
so negative.
In my opinion. I had it when I was in high school for 2 years, and then I was just like, this is dog shit. I'm going to get off of this. But, I think it's interesting, though. I mean, you said you wanted there to be some transparency in what they're doing, and I do agree. I think if they're going to be doing stuff behind the scenes, they should let people know. Like, if they're going to blacklist people, let them know at least. That way they can be informed and they can move elsewhere, or they can at least make their own decision. But to not tell them, I think, is really, really messed up. But I think more than that, I mean, I kind of personally think, you know, I don't think that these companies should have any political stance on anything. I think that they should be neutral. And I understand that that's really hard to do and probably not going to happen long term. But I mean, in an ideal world, you shouldn't have them doing anything to interfere with if what their platform is going to be a tool for free speech, then it has to be a tool for free speech. And you can't mess with that in any
right.
way. I think people will push back and say, well, no, they're not. They're private companies and they can do what they want. And that is true. But I think that the user experience would be a lot better if they were not biased in any way.
But I don't think there's an advantage to it.
No, you know? I don't.
It's like the Gap. The Gap makes clothes. Some people like the clothes from the Gap. Does it matter if the company is like wanting to be left-leaning or right-leaning for some reason? I mean, they kind of throw that on certain companies. Oh, this company's like very woke or whatever. I'm like, what is the benefit of that? Your product is clothes.
Well, I'll tell you what it is there's I wish I knew what it was called off the top of my head, but there's this system of evaluating companies based on their progressiveness, I guess is a way to put it in short. So they look at like their green, their carbon footprint, or like their plans for energy in the future, and then like their involvement in like Black Lives Matter, whatever it is, these different progressive movements and stuff. And then they get a score based on that. And nowadays, investors look very, very much at that score. So a company like Patagonia has a very high score because they're very environmentally conscious. They're very progressive. They do really well on that. Other companies have been spending so much money and time and resources improving that score because nowadays that's what investors are looking at because that's what the population cares about. The problem is the way that these scores are ranked and evaluated is not really a great indication for if a company is good. I mean, overall, on average, it probably doesn't do a terrible job. But the thing is, the companies are just manipulating whatever they need to get their score higher. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't actually give a shit about being progressive or helping people out in any way. They just want to make the investors horny, and they do that by improving their score.
Well, this almost highlights, I mean, that's basically like a social credit score, but for companies.
Pretty much.
And this highlights the danger of that.
Yeah.
It's like one day if you don't recycle, right? Or you haven't taken any cans to the thing or you haven't volunteered your time for something, like your overall social credit score could go down and then it's harder to get loans.
Yeah.
Something like this already happens in China. It's real. You say some things that the government doesn't like, you can't rent a car or fly somewhere. It's madness.
Yeah.
But exactly. That's your point. So they're putting in these new systems, and I didn't even know about that one. So
it's scary. I'll pull up the I don't know what the name of it is. I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, that's all that they care about. And it's like I'm fine with that as a concept, right? Like, but what I'm not okay with is companies just going in there, manipulating whatever they need to, moving around things so that their score improves. It's the same thing. Like it's like companies don't pay anything in taxes. It's because they figured out some workaround where they have some offshore bank account that owns the trademark, and that offshore country only charges 1% tax. And so they have two companies, and then they do some clever accounting stuff, and basically they don't have to pay taxes on it. It's the same thing. They're using the system to manipulate what they want to make themselves more money, which I don't think is okay.
And it's kind of at our expense.
And it's
what it seems
again
like.
To go back, it's intellectually dishonest when you're going to tell people, oh yeah, we're gonna, like, I can't stand it when companies are like, oh yeah, we're gonna be carbon neutral by 2030. It's like, and if you're not, what? You're just like, oh, that's our goal. It's like, okay, that's great. I could have a goal that I'm going to climb Mount Everest bare naked. But if I don't do it, and if I make no effort to do it, then your goal doesn't mean shit. And what I'm trying to say is that they're putting out these goals and they're framing their progressiveness to people, and they're pushing that so much because they want to change their image as a company. They don't actually give a shit about any of these issues. They just want to make more money for themselves. And that's where I have a problem with it, because it's like you're trying to convince people that you're doing something. In reality, you're not doing that thing at all.
Yeah. It's messed up. You get worked up, bro.
Listen, man.
This is like the most worked up I've seen you.
I don't know, man. I think it's the whiskey.
You get revved.
Yeah.
You get it revved. I think on that note, Yeah, let's call it. So again, episode 107 of the All In podcast, the Twitter Files part 1 and 2, shadow banning, story suppression, interference, and more. These guys, I thought, were very interesting. Like, it's the kind of thing when it's a tricky subject that's probably not being talked about in mainstream media, I'm going to want to check in with these guys and see what they have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was compelling. And you can tell that they're smart guys, and they're on the pulse, and they're frustrated with the way things unfold.
So am I, man. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, obviously.
It's
obviously
ridiculous. It's not okay.
Well, but thanks for listening. If you like this, there'll be links in the bio for that episode. We're trying to throw a link up for whatever Sean was talking about with that company credit score thing, just for you guys to check it out. If you enjoy this, share it with your friends, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace out, guys.